meeting with Lottie Datsun as promised. "Any trouble?" he said, starting the engine. "No, but I recognized a guy asleep in the alley. You'd better tell Lottie not to leave Jill alone in the apartment, and maybe she can get a police escort to take Jill home. Tell her to call a Lieutenant Mallory to request it." "Sure thing." We drove to the clinic, and I handed him the keys to my car. "Good luck," he said. "And don't worry about Jill and Lottie. I'll take care of them." "I never worry about Lottie," I said, sliding into the driver's seat of the Datsun. I kept checking the road behind me, but it seemed to be clear, and at 6:50 I eased to a halt on Hartford's main street, across from Rana's cafe. One waitress was taking care of the counter. Another was rushing through the doors at the back, her arms loaded with plates. Her hair had been dyed black. It was Anita McGraw. "I'll be right with you," she said. I asked for a Denver omelet, whole wheat toast, and juice. I ate half the omelet, slowly. I had several cups of coffee. When Anita brought my check, I put a $5 bill on it, and on top of that, one of my cards. I'd written on it, "Ruth sent me. I'm in the Datsun across the street." I went out and got back in the car. I sat for another half hour before Anita appeared. She sat down in the passenger seat. She gave me a bleak smile. She was holding her hands together so tightly the knuckles were white. "I hope I can trust you," she said. "I've got to trust someone." "Don't worry. I'm a private investigator," I said. "Your father hired me to find you, and I found Peter Thayer's body instead. Then over the weekend, your father told me to stop looking for you." She nodded her head. "I know what happened to Peter. I guess you could say I killed him." "Why do you say that?" "You say you found his body. Well, so did I. I came home and found him. I lost my head and ran. I knew if I went back, they'd get me." "How much do you know?"
"I don't know much for certain, but I found a claim draft from Ajax Insurance in your apartment. I presume Peter brought it home because it was fraudulent in some way. What I do know for certain is that your father and Yardley Masters have a deal going. And I know that your father knows Earl Smyson, the gangster."
"Is Smyson a killer?" she asked in a strained voice. "Well, he doesn't kill. He's got muscle to do it for him. So my father had him kill Peter, didn't he?" She stared at me challengingly. "I don't know. I think what happened was that Peter confronted Masters with the fraudulent claim, and Masters panicked and called your dad. And your dad knows people who will put someone away for a price. But I'm sure Masters didn't tell him who'd crossed his path, just that someone had tumbled to the secret and had to be eliminated. It was only a few days later that your father knew that Masters had had Peter killed. And that's when he told me to stop looking for you. He didn't want me to find you because he didn't want anyone else to find you. Someone who might do you harm." She looked at me.
"I hear you," she said. "But it doesn't make it any better. My dad and I, we were very close. But I didn't talk to him about Peter much. He didn't like me going round with the son of an important banker. And he's kind of Puritan. He hated my living with Peter like that."
The story was starting to come easily now. "Peter's job at Ajax was in the budget department, and they asked him to check records of claims drafts against claims files because there was something wrong with the computer. Peter started with total disability claims and found a claim set up for a man called Carl O'Malley. Total disability, lost his right arm and been crippled by an accident with a conveyor belt. Only it hadn't happened, you see. Carl is one of the senior vice presidents at the Knife Grinders Union, and Peter knew that. And Carl's never been in an accident. Then Peter looked up the names of the other guys on the executive board, and they all had indemnity claims. And that was the terrible thing. You see, my dad had one, too."
"Is Joseph Giochowski on the executive board?" I asked.
"Yes, he's one of the vice presidents. Do you know him?"
"No, but that was the name on the claim draft I found in Peter's apartment.
So then Peter decided to talk to Masters?
Yes, Peter thought he owed it to him, and Masters told him that he'd like to talk it over in private, and he would come down Monday morning before work. I wanted to be there, but I had a job, you see. I had to be there at 8:30, and Masters was coming around 9, so I left Peter to it. Oh, God, why didn't I stay with him?
Listen, Anita, I said in a sharp voice. You didn't kill Peter. You didn't set him up. If you had been there, you'd be dead, too, and the truth might never come out.
After a while, she sat up. Her face was tear-streaked, but some of the strain had gone out of it.
How was Peter's father involved? I asked. Her eyes opened at that.
Peter's father? He wasn't.
He had to be. He was killed the other day, Monday. Anita went white. I'm sorry, I said. That was thoughtless to spring it on you like that. I put an arm around her shoulders. Anita said, Do you think I can go back to Chicago now? I could probably get you back, I said. I can get you put up in a hotel. You wouldn't be able to go out, but someone would stop by every now and then to talk to you so you won't go completely stir-crazy. That sound all right? She made a face. I guess I don't have any choice, do I? Sorry, I didn't mean to sound so grudging.
Is there anything you want to collect in Hartford? I asked.
No, but I should stop at Rana's and tell them I'm leaving. While she was in the cafe, I used a phone on the corner to call the Herald Star. Ryerson was at his desk.
Murray, I said, I've got the story of a lifetime for you if you can keep a key witness on ice for a few days.
All right, I'll do what I can for you.
Good. I'm in Hartford with Anita McGraw. I want to get her back to Chicago and keep her under wraps until this case blows over. I can't bring her down myself because I'm hot property now. I want to put her on a train and have you meet her at Union Station. When you do, get her into a hotel. Can do?
Sure. What's the story? Smice and knock off her boyfriend?
Murray, you put any of this in print before the whole story is finished, and never mind me. They're going to be fishing your body out of the Chicago River. I guarantee I'll put it there.
You have my word of honor. What time is the train coming in?
I don't know. I'll call you again. We had to wait until 1:30 for a Chicago train. I left Anita at the station and went to buy her some jeans and a shirt. When she'd changed into them, she looked a lot better. While we were waiting, I rang Murray with the train's arrival time, and he told me he'd decided on the Ritz.
If she's going to be holed up somewhere, it might as well be a place where she'll be comfortable, he explained. The Star will share the bill with you.
Thanks, Murray, I said dryly. As soon as the train pulled out with Anita aboard, I headed back for Chicago. On the way, I stopped at a service station and called the Thayer house. Jill should be there by now. Sure enough, her clear voice came onto the line. You get out to Winnetka without any trouble? I asked.
Oh, yes. Paul got us a police escort.
Sounds good. Did you have a chance to look through your father's papers?
Oh, yes. I didn't really know what I was looking for, but I found some document that had both Mr. Masters and Mr. McGraw's names on it.
I found myself grinning into the telephone. Did you now? I said.
What was it? It's a Xerox. It says, the undersigned, Yardley Masters and Andrew McGraw are herein granted responsibility for money submitted to this account for the following. And then it gives a list of names. Andrew McGraw, Carl O'Malley, Joseph I can't pronounce it. There are about, 23 names.
That's what I was looking for, Jill.
What does it mean? She asked. Does it mean Daddy killed Peter?
No, Jill. It means your father knew about a dirty scheme and your brother found out about it. Your brother was killed because he found out about it.
I see. Do you know who killed him?
I think so. I'll come to see you tomorrow or the next day. I started to hang up, then thought I should warn her to hide the paper. Oh, Jill, I said, but she'd put down the receiver. It was 5:30 when I reached the outskirts of Chicago and gave Lottie a call.
My dear Vic,
she greeted me.
Can you believe Smyson's thugs actually had the effrontery to break into this apartment?
Oh, my God, Lottie, I said. I am so sorry. I'll come by to get my stuff right now and be gone. Paul was in the doorway of Lottie's apartment, screwing a new lock into the door.
This is pretty bad, Vic, he said. You think Jill is in any danger? I think I should go up there and see.
Sounds like a good idea, I said. Be careful, though. I went on into the apartment. Lottie was trying to reattach a screen to the back door. For a woman with such skillful medical fingers, she was remarkably inept. I took the hammer from her and quickly finished the job. Then I called to see if my apartment was fit for occupation again. It was. Well, everything is all set, Lottie, I said. I can go home. Sorry I didn't yesterday. It would have spared you this invasion.
Ah, oh, forget it, Vic. Now I am feeling a little melancholy at being alone. I shall miss Paul and Jill. They are very sweet together. I forgot to ask. Did you find Miss McGraw?
I forgot to tell you. I did.
I tried to call Ralph, but there was no answer. Out for dinner? Was I jealous? Well, Lottie, thanks for letting me disrupt your life for a few days, I said. She sat on the daybed to watch me pack.
But now? Can you expose the killer?
Probably a guy named Tony Bronski fired the actual shot, I said. Who ordered that shot to be fired? I'm sure I know, but I can't prove it. Somehow I've got to force him into the open. She stood on tiptoe and gave me a kiss.
I'll walk you to the street. If anyone shoots at you, then I can patch you up quickly before too much blood is lost.
She walked me to the corner, but the street was clear.
That's because of Sergeant McSomething, she said. He's been driving around from time to time. Still, Vic, be careful. I should not like anything to happen to you.
Lottie, that's melodrama, I protested. But her eyes were serious.